Begin the current daf, Masech Tzvachim, daf Tzadi Aleph. Begin on the bottom of Tzadi Membeis, four lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara begins a discussion regarding the previous Mishnayos' topics. And that is, we had spoken about in this parak, as the title of the parak called Tadim Mechaber, whatever is more frequent than the other carbon comes first. And then also the next Mishnah spoke about Kolam Kudish Mechaber, whatever is more sanctified than the other one comes first. So that asked the Gemara, Iboilo, the following question. Tadir umakudosh, let's say there's two types of karbanas. One is more frequent, yet the other one is more sanctified. For example, if let's say there's the blood of the carbon oila of the tamid, and the blood of a carbon chatas waiting to be thrown. The tamid is more tadir, is more frequent. The chatas is more sanctified. And as we had said in the previous Mishnah, that the blood of the chatas is before the blood of the oila, because it's meratz, it atones, making it more makudosh. But here it's a tamid. Or in other cases, for example, let's say the oilos of the musvei reish chedish. And you also have the par of the helam daver, which is a chatas. The musvei reish chedish is more tadir. The one of the par eida is more makudosh. So therefore, ask the Gemara, ezim and kaidim, which one comes first? As the Gemara explains. Do we say tadir kaidim mishum de tadir? Do we say the one that's more frequent comes, because like we said in the first mission of this parak, the one that's more frequent goes first? Or idim and makudish kaidim, maybe we say the sanctified one comes first, because the kaddish, because it's more sanctified. As the next mission went through the whole hierarchy of the more sanctified something is, the first it comes. Says the Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya from a Mishnah that we had on the Pitesimid Aleph. The Mishnah said, Tamidim kaidim l'masafin. The carbon tamid, which is the daily sacrifice, comes before the musaf, the additional carbon that's brought on certain times like Shabbosim and Rish Chodesh and Yom Tovim. So it continues the Gemara of Tzadi Aleph and Aleph of Avagav the musaf and Kaddisha, even though the musafim, the carbon that are added on, are more sanctified, because the musaf comes because of the most sanctified day. Because Shabbos, Rish Chodesh, whatever it is, it becomes an obligation for those sanctified times, whereas the tamid comes even during a weekday. So you see that although the musaf is more Kaddish, what comes first is the tamid, which is more tadr. So you see, the tadr is more important. Says the Gemara, no. Atur Shabbos l'musaf nahano. You think the sanctity of Shabbos only makes the musaf more sanctified? L'tamidim lo'ahanid, but that it doesn't help for the daily sacrifice? No. Since it's being sacrificed today, the tamid, on Shabbos, so the designation of Shabbos is also going to sanctify everything that happens on Shabbos, which is even going to be for the tamid. And therefore, it's also going to be included in the sanctity. So therefore, it's not just more tadr, it's also tadr v'kadosh when the tamid is brought on a day like Shabbos. Which tells us an important lesson that everything on Shabbos is elevated, not just the unique halachas of Shabbos. Now, the Gemara continues, Tashema, again, trying to bring a raya from our mission of Petesim and Alf, which Tosis points out that all the Tashemas the Gemara is going to bring requires understanding what was the Gemara's Havamina, because we already answered this concept that, what, you think Shabbos is only for those Musafin that come uniquely for Shabbos, but it doesn't help with the Tumid that's incidental to Shabbos? No, the sanctity of Shabbos is everything for it. That answer, seemingly, is what the Gemara is going to answer for every Havamina. So Tosis says you have to analyze and understand what is it that the Gemara is introducing that we would have thought differently in each one of these rayas. But says the Gemara Tashma again from that Mishnah, the Mishnah there continues and says, Musvi Shabbos kaidmin l'musafi Rish Chodesh. Says, the Musaf of Shabbos, which is more frequent than the Musaf of Rish Chodesh, comes before the Musaf of Rish Chodesh, even though the Musaf of Rish Chodesh is more sanctified than the Musaf of Shabbos, because Rish Chodesh is called a Mayid. And also additionally, there is a Sar HaChatas that atones for Tumas Mikdash HaKadosh of our Rish Chodesh, which you don't have on Shabbos. So you see that Tadr is more important than Mekudesh. No. Atur Rish Chodesh L'Musaf and Dideahani, you think that the sanctity of Rish Chodesh is only for the Musaf that comes for Rish Chodesh? And L'Musaf Shabbos L'Yahani, that it doesn't help for the Musaf of Shabbos? No, that sanctifies also the Musaf of Shabbos. So the Musaf Shabbos also has the same sanctity, and it has Tadiris, that's what comes first. But it doesn't tell us if it was only Tadr versus Mekudesh, what Allah would be. So the Mishnah says, Toshima, again, from the next case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Musaf Rish Chodesh, Kaidmin L'Musaf Rish Hashanah. The Musaf of Rish Chodesh, which on Rish Hashanah it's Tishrei, and it's also the New Year, the Musaf of Rish Chodesh comes before the Musaf of Rish Hashanah. Avak after Rosh Hashanah Kitcher, even though Rosh Hashanah is obviously more sanctified, more holy than a Rish Chodesh, so you see that Tadr is more important. So let's think about it again. Atur Rosh Hashanah l'musafi didehani, you think Rosh Hashanah is only sanctifying its own musafin and l'musafi Rish Chodesh l'ayahani? No, it gives the sanctity to the Rish Chodesh too, and therefore again it's no raya, because Rish Chodesh, that was musafin, are not just Tadr, but also Mekudesh. So Ma'aseh says, Tashma, let's think of raya, the Braisa that's brought in Masechta Pesachim, where there's a machlikis b'sham b'sil regarding when someone's coming to make kiddush, what do you do first? Do you make the bracha on the wine? You make a bracha on the day, which is mekadesh haShabbos. So on that b'sil said, you first make a bracha on the wine like our minhag is, and then you make a bracha on the day. Why? Reason number one is because what allows us to make the kiddush is the wine. So therefore, it takes precedence. Davacher, another reason, says Basil, is birchas ayin tadira. The blessing made on wine is more common. It's constant. Every day a person is going to drink wine, especially in Talmudic times. Or birchas ayin and tadira, whereas the blessing on the day is not so constant. It comes once a week or comes once a month. Whatever the event is that we're making kiddush for, v'tadir v'shein tadir tadir kaidim, and we know the halacha is whatever is more frequent comes first. Says the, so therefore you can make a bracha on the wine before the bracha on the day. Says the Gemara, Avagav de Birchas Hayom Kedisha, even though the blessing on the day, which the designation of Shabbos is on that bracha, because why do we make the bracha Mekadesh HaShabbos, is distinctly for the essence of Shabbos. In contrast, the blessing on the wine, we make even on a weekday. So you see that Tadr is more important than Kaddish, because the sanctity is on the bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos, and that's more sanctified than the blessing in the wine, and yet the wine's blessing comes first because it's more constant. Says the Gemara here also, no. Atur Shabbos lebrichas ayem hanoi. You think the sanctity of Shabbos only it elevates the blessing of the day? Lebrichas ayem lo hanoi, but it doesn't help for the blessing of the wine? No, the blessing of wine on Shabbos has the same sanctity as the blessing of the day of Shabbos, and therefore again, it's not just tadr, it's also tadr umakudish. So the Gemara says, Toshima, it's being a raya from a teaching that the Gemara brings in Masechtas Brachos, that if someone has two tefillas to daven, either of Musaf or of Mincha, which although the Zman of Musaf starts earlier, but if one doesn't daven Musaf right away, now it's time to dedicate daven Mincha too. It's a Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. With the Amr Rabbi Yechon, he said the halacha is like the one who says, Mispal Odom Shal Mincha, first you daven Mincha, which is the more frequent one, you would daven Mincha every day, V'achar Kach Shal Musaf, and then you daven Musaf, which although it's more sanctified, but it doesn't come every single day. So you see, Tadr is more important than Makudish. So the Gemara here also. Atur Shabbos, Latzvos, Musaf, and Hanoi, you think the sanctity of Shabbos, which is when you daven Musaf, only elevates the sanctity of its Musaf prayer? Latfilas Mincha, Hanoi, you think it doesn't elevate the Mincha of Shabbos too? No, the Mincha of Shabbos is not just Tadr, it's also Tadr Makudish, and that's what goes first. Gemara says, Tashem, let's bring it right from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Shlam Shal Emesh. One has a shlam from yesterday, and chatzis v'asham shal yoyim, and he has a carbon chatzis v'asham from today. So which one do we do first? So the Mishnah, shlam shal emesh kaidin. Although shlam is a lower level carbon, but since, as we explained in the Mishnah, it's already here from yesterday, it would be disgraceful to go and do something from today when this is already laying from yesterday. So you're going to do the shlam first. Now, the inference is, ha'id v'idi d'yoyim, but if let's say both of them were from today, then chatzis v'asham kadmi. Then you would first do the chatz and the ashem, which are more sanctified. The avagav the shlam tadiri, even though the carbon shlam is more constant, because since when a person brings a neder and a dava, they can be brought from shlam, which you cannot do a neder and a dava of chatz and ashem. So obviously it's more frequent to have shlam, and yet we see you're going to do the chatz and ashem first because kaddish comes before tadr. Says the Gemara Rabbi, says, no, matzu kamrit? What's iraya from shlamim? That something that's more common, but not that it has a frequency which is obligatory. Rather, it just happens to be more common than the other one. That we're not talking about. Tadr kamei baylan. Our question was regarding frequency of requirement. Matzul kamei baylan. We never had a question regarding that's more common. You're right. Of course we're going to do chatzis ashim, which are more mukudish, than shlam, which happens to be more common. We're talking about frequency that's intrinsic, not just something that happens to be more common just because people will bring that more, but it doesn't have a tediris in itself, it just happens to be more matzli, and if it's not a raya. Now, on that answer, Amalei Rav Huna by Yehuda L'Rav, he says, what, atu matzul lav tadi? You don't think commonality is the same idea as frequency? But Vatanya, we learned in the Braise, which this is brought in Teres Kayanim, which discusses the halacha of bringing a carbon chatas. Where the Braise says, one would think, regarding the carbon Pesach, if one doesn't bring it, or if someone doesn't do circumcision, since the punishment is karis, so one would think, as the halacha is by a regular loisase, that when does one bring a karma chatas? If someone by mistake violated something that's a punishment of karis, then he brings a karma chatas. So one would think the same thing would be regarding Pesach and Mila, that they're also, since if one violates it deliberately gets karis, so if one does it by mistake, it brings a karma chatas. Says the Braisa, no. It says in the Pasuk, Asher loisere sena, which should not be done. That's when you bring a karma chatas. Although Pesach and Mila have karis, but they are positive commandments, which they're unique. Usually positive commandments do not have covers. They do, but you can't bring a korban chatzis. It's only for a negative action, not for not doing a positive commandment. Now that continues the Braisa as our Gemara quotes. So Eitzias of Pesach, but from that pasuk, I would think, okay, I'm going to exclude the Korban Pesach, that it's not going to have the obligation of a Korban Chatas, she'ein a tadr, because it's not frequent. But v'loy Eitzias ha-milo she'it adira, but I would think that I'm not going to exclude Milo where it has frequency. Maybe that, if one does not do it, one would be chayav Korban Chatas. That's what the Braisa says. No, tamalem ashaloy se'asen. It's only for something that's a negative action and not doing circumcision. It's just not doing a positive commandment. But one thing we see from this Braisa, asked Rav Huna by Yehuda to Rava, is that we see regarding Mila, which is not tadira, it's not intrinsically a frequency, it's just mutzah, it's just more common. There's babies being born, and there's people doing bris mila, circumcisions, and yet still we see, although it's mutzah, we're calling it tadir. And that says the Gemara, no. My tadira, what does it mean over there in that braisa that it calls mila tadira? It means tadira b'mitzvahs. Yeah, it means a seder, an order, intrinsic to it, not just more common. But it's not talking about because it's more common, that's why we're calling it tadir. It's tadira b'mitzvahs. It has an organization in the commandments where, since there are 13 covenants that are Karas in regards to the bris of Mila, and it has all these commandments related to it, that's why we're calling it Tadira. Tadira in mitzvahs, but not Tadira in its frequency. Yeah, for that we only call it Matzah, not Tadir, and therefore it wouldn't have that Mila of Tadir just because it happens to be more common. As we said, because Matzah is one thing and Tadir is something else. Here the word Tadira means in the mitzvahs itself, that therefore it's more elevated in its status because of all the covenants, the brises, Yidgama brises that are related to bris Mila. Or the Ibai say, more if you want, you could say no. It is as the simple understanding that it means tadr. But then we say mutz is not tadr, and that says the Gemara, milagabi pesach ki tadr dami. Circumcision in contrast to the Korban Pesach, since it's much more common to have circumcision than the Korban Pesach, which only once a year, therefore, yeah, we are going to qualify mutzai like tadr. But the commonality of shlamim in contrast to the commonality of chatas, that's not going to give it such an importance of tadr as if it has a certain element of frequency, and therefore, again, it's not going to answer our question regarding the halacha, because you're right. By chatas and ashim, you're going to do it before shlamim, but you're not going to prove that kaddish is more important than tadr, because their shlamim is not considered tadr, because it's not that much more common than the chatas and ashim, as the case was by Mila and Pesach. So therefore, all it has is matzah, not tadr, and again, therefore, it doesn't answer our question regarding when one is kaddish, one is tadr, which one goes first. Now the Gemara continues with a different question, also relating back to the halacha of our mission that we just quoted. Ibailu, the following question. Tadr v'she'in the tadr, if one has something that's more frequent and something that's less frequent. Now the halacha is you're supposed to bring the tadr first. But v'kadim v'shachar l'she'in the tadr. Instead, they went and they slaughtered the one that's not more frequent. My, what's the halacha? What's the question? Says the Gemara. Mi aminu, do we say, kivin d'shachte makriv lei? Since, okay, they slaughtered it, so now go ahead and do the avoid disregarding that carbon. I don't know, maybe no. Yov la'achar de memaris bedami. Give the blood to someone else who will mix it, that it doesn't congeal, that one can later do the drikas with it. Ah, de makrev leila tad, until you go, as is supposed to be done, until you sacrifice the one that's more frequent. Vaha de makrev lesha in the tad, then you go back and sacrifice and do the avoidance with the one that's not frequent. What do you do? Do you say once it was sacrificed, once it was slaughtered, okay, do the avoidance with it? Or they say no, mix it, do the other one, and come back to it. So Amar Rav Huna Misuri says, Tashema, let's bring a raya from the halacha of the Mishnah we just quoted before. Mishnah said, Shlam shel emesh. If one has a carbon shlam from yesterday, and chatzis v'ashim shel yoyim, and one has a chatzis v'ashim of today, which one to do the avodah first? Said the Mishnah, shel emesh koydim l'shel yoyim. First you're going to do the shlam of yesterday before the chatzis v'ashim of today. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that this shlam that was brought yesterday was slaughtered today, and the chatz and ashram is waiting to be slaughtered. And still the Mishnah tells us that the shlam from yesterday is going to be sprayed its blood first. And how do we know that that's the case? Because as Rashi points out, if they were both not slaughtered yet, that says Rashi, the Gemara assumes very simply, of course, we're not going to go ahead and do the shlam first, just because it was brought yesterday. You have a shlam that's an animal and the chatz and ashram, of course you can do chatz and ashram first. Rather, the reason is that the shlam was already slaughtered, chatz ashram was not yet. And that says the Mishnah, okay, you'll spray the blood of the shlamim first. So it sounds like the reason is because the shlam had already come yesterday. But hadayim, but if let's say both the shlamim and the chatzin ashim were from today, the shlamim did not come yesterday. And it's going to be dumi de emesh, the same as the case that we're describing in the Mishnah of yesterday. Veche dame. What do you mean? What's that similarity? Is the kadim shachtei l'shlamim, just like we said, the shlamim from yesterday. If it was slaughtered today, it's yesterday, and it was slaughtered already. You didn't slaughter chaz ashim. Says the Mishnah, okay, then do the shlam. But sounds like if the shlam was brought today, same type of case, meaning that you slaughtered the shlamim of today before the chaz ashim was slaughtered today, then the inference is that chatzis v'ashim kadmi. That then. No, then you're going to first slaughter the chatz and the asham before throwing the blood of the shlam. So obviously you see that when you have something that's more sanctified, the chatz and asham, and you have the shlam that's less sanctified, and one inappropriately went and slaughtered the einam akudish first, that the Mishnah is telling us through the inference, that no, don't spray it. It's only if it came yesterday. If it came today, mix it, and throw the makudish's one first. So similarly, that should be the same concept regarding what we're asking regarding tada vish ena tada, even though one did the ena tada first. No, don't spray it. Let someone mix it. Do the tada first, and then come back to it. And that says the Gemara, no. Dilma, maybe, the way you have to learn the halacha of the Mishnah is as follows. Shlomim de emesh, when you have the case of the shlom of yesterday, the chatzis v'ashim de yoim, and you have the chatz ashim from today, which, yeah, the Mishnah told us that you do the one from yesterday first. Hechem mishkachas lo. What's that case talking about? Not the way you described it, that the shlamim was slaughtered and the chatz ashim was not. Which, if you learn it that way, then the inference of if they're both from today will answer our question. No, it's the shchatinu l'tavayu. They both were slaughtered. In other words, that even though, and that's the case that the Mishnah is describing, even though that the chatz was slaughtered after the shlamim, and now both their bloods are waiting to be thrown, and that's the Mishnah is telling us actually a big chiddush, that the shlamim of yesterday will go first, because it was ready from yesterday, and it's already slaughtered. Now, on that, you could then go ahead and make an inference. Oh, but if they're both from today, and you slaughtered the shlam first, and then the chatas, and now you want to know, okay, so which one should we throw first? That's what the inference is going to tell us. Oh, they're both from today? Then you're going to throw the chatas first. Avoloi shachtinu l'tavayu, but says the Gemara, if they weren't both slaughtered yet, in other words, if the chatas was not slaughtered after the shlamim, and now they're coming to ask, what should we do? Should we throw the shlam blood, or should we go first and slaughter the chatas asham? That tibaylach. That you could still have the question, as we had asked, what's the halacha? Do we disgrace the shlamim, not to throw it yet, leave someone to go ahead and mix the blood, and to go ahead and do the slaughtering the chatas and to spray the blood afterwards? But it's not answered from the halacha of the Mishnah. And therefore, since we're not answering that question regarding Mekudesh and Be'enim Mekudesh, our same question regarding Tadr and the Tadr was the same type of a question. Where someone went ahead and slaughtered the Einar Tadr and the Tadr wasn't even slaughtered yet. What's the halacha? That's not being resolved from the halacha of our Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Tashma, let's bring a different raya from a brayse that we brought before that says, Dava Acher, but it still says another reason why the bracha of the wine comes before the bracha of Mekadosh HaShabbos is because Birchas Hayayin Tadira, the blessing on wine is more frequent. Or Birchas Hayayin Tadira, the blessing on the day is not so frequent. And when you have something that's frequent and something not frequent, you do the one that's more frequent first. Now, although that in this case, the Einar Tadr, the blessing of the day, really came first. Because the moment it became Shabbos, the moment after sunset, before they even set the Shabbos table, before the wine came, the Kedushas HaYoyim already was there. So that's essentially the same as the case of when they already slaughtered the Einar Tadr first. And yet you see, even though the Einar Tadr was slaughtered first, and the Tadr nothing was done yet, that, what are we saying? That you do the Tadr first. So seemingly that answers our question that, yeah, one would go ahead and do the tadr first, even if one went ahead and slaughtered the inner tadr, because that's seemingly the equivalent, where you already had the inner tadr slaughtered, meaning you could already make the bracha on the day, but the Shabbos Suda wasn't even set up yet, and yet still we see we're going to do the kiddush of the wine first, because it's tadr, even though one slaughtered already the inner tadr first. And that says the Gemara, no, hachinami, here also, as we had rejected the raya from our Mishnah, the kivin, the asyan. Since right now, ultimately, when we all sit down at the Shabbos Suda, the wine is in front of us and is ready to make a blessing on it, command the shchiti tarvayu. It's like the case of what we described before when both karbanos were already slaughtered. That's what dummy, that's what it's compared to, and therefore that's not going to resolve our question, because our question was when only the Einar Tadr was slaughtered and not the Tadr. the case you're describing with the wine, it's like both of them were slaughtered already. And then, of course, then you're going to do the tadr. Our question is, when it wasn't slaughtered at all, do you throw the blood of the shlamim, or do you wait until the like in the case of the Mekudesh, the Chatzis Ashim, or by tadr and the tadr, do you do the tadr first, or do you do the in the tadr once it was slaughtered already? So the Gemara says, Tashma, again, let's bring a raya, similar theme of the previous Gemara's discussion, from the Amar B'Yechanan. He had said, halacha, the halacha is, mispal adam shel mincha. First, if let's say someone is in the afternoon, he has mincha and musaf to daven. So, mispal adam shel mincha, first he's going to have a mincha which is more frequent, tadr. Va'achakech shel musaf, and then he'll daven the tefillah of musaf, where although the zman of musaf, which is not tadr, came first, so therefore you see that even though you already had, like, so to speak, slaughtered the ein tadr, because it was ready to be done, but you're going to go ahead and do the tadr first. So you see that even though you had the shechita of the ein tadr, you're going to go ahead and do the tadr first, like here in daven mincha, even though the musaf was ready first. Says Gemara, no, hachanam, here also, the same thing. Keeping the mati zman tefillas mincha, but once it came time for davening mincha, command the shechita tavai dami. So it's like both of them are slaughtered, because both of them are available to be done. And then you're going to do the tadr. But it doesn't answer us if you have the inner tadr slaughtered, which you don't have the equivalent really in this case over here, but and you could also do the tadr which is still alive, then maybe we would do the inner tadr first, even though one's supposed to do the tadr first, because we had already slaughtered the inner tadr. So that the Gemara continues and says, Omalei Rav Acha Bereder of Ashi L'Ravina says, let's bring a raya from Mishnah Masechet Pesachim. Mishnah says, regarding the Korban Pesach, if Shachtu Kodim Chatzais, someone slaughters the Korban Pesach before noon, so Pasach, let's invalidate it. The Pasach explicitly says that the Korban Pesach has to be in the afternoon. Now, but let's say Kodim L'Tamid, let's say he slaughters the Korban Pesach before the evening Korban Tamid, then kasher, then the Korban Pesach is going to be kasher, meaning even though initially the mitzvah is to delay the Korban Pesach after the Tamid Shabbein Abayim, as we brought in the Brayis, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, we should delay something that says two terminologies of night by it, Erev and Beiner Abayim, which it says by the Pesach, to something that only says Beiner Abayim by the Korban Tamid, that shows a later sign of darkness, of lateness by the Korban Pesach. But if one did it before the Korban Tamid, it's going to be kasher, but v'hei memaris bedamai, but although it's still a valid Korban Pesach, but you are supposed to do the Tamid first. So let them mix the blood of that Korban Pesach, actually is a kadam, until they throw the blood of the Korban Tamid. So you see that in the case of when one went and slaughtered something that's supposed to really be later, what do we tell that person? Don't spray the blood. First slaughter the one that's supposed to be first, throw its blood, and then come back to it. So that should answer the question with tadr versus ener tadr, that no, you're not going to spray the blood of the ener tadr. You're going to first have it mixed, do the tadr, and come back to it. That says the Gemara, no, what are we talking about over here in this Mishnah, in Pesachim, is going to kadim shachti l'tamid bereisha. It's actually the same as we rejected all the proofs. It's talking about that before the person came to consult us, what should we do? He didn't consult. He went and slaughtered the Korban Tamid also now. Now his question was only regarding, okay, now which blood do we throw? And that would say, okay, you throw the Korban Tamid first, because anyways the Tamid is supposed to be first. But it doesn't answer again, if let's say the Tamid wasn't even shechted yet, then we would still have the question, do we throw the blood of the Korban Pesach, or do we delay it, go slaughter and throw the blood of the Korban Tamid, and then come back to Korban Pesach? And says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha Sabal Rav Ashi, says actually, Masnit Namedeka. The Mishnah within Pesachim actually is precisely the way you're answering, rejecting the Raya. Because the Tanya, the words of the Mishnah are that you mix the blood of the Pesach, atche yizik adem, until you spray the blood of the Korban Tamid. Now, v'leiketani atche yishchid v'yizik adem, it doesn't say until you slaughter and throw the blood of the Korban Tamid. Shema minah, obviously we can infer from there that actually not only is the Pesach shechted, but then after that the Tamid was shechted. Now the question, which one do you throw? Yeah, you'll throw the Tamid first, because they're both slaughtered. Like we said, by shnei mishlut, and of course you'll do the Tadr or Mekudesh, or in like this case, the Tamid first. The question is, if only the Eina Tadr, Eina Mekudesh, the Korban Pesach was slaughtered first, and then you still have the other one live, that's our question, which that's not resolved from these rais. Now the Gemara concludes the halacha of our Mishnah, which said, Ubekulon, regarding all these halachas that we spoke about in our Mishnayis, Kahanim Rishon Mechula, the Kahanim are regarding those karbanis that are consumed with the Kahanim. They're allowed to change however they want to eat it. They can eat it however way they want to do. So that's the Gemara, my time, what's the reason for that? Because Amakra, the Pasuk says, in Bamidbar Yudches Ches, says that Hashem says to Aaron, here, behold, I gave for you the safeguard of my truma for all the holy things of the Jewish people. To you I gave it, Lamashcha, for anointment. Now, the Targum translates that as l'raboy, which means l'gedula, for greatness, meaning when the karbanos that you, Aaron, and your children get to eat is kederech shahamalachim oichlin, the way the kings eat, like nobility, which they eat it however they want to, and that's the source for this halacha. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Amr b'Shimon. Shimon says, "Emreisa shemen shu meschalik ba'azar." If you see oil being divided in the courtyard to the kahanim to consume it, ain tzarich l'shal mahu. You don't have to ask what's this from. Ella, rather, you can have only two choices: either meiser kike menachas Yisrael, either it's the leftovers from the oil that's from the wafers of the flour offerings of a regular Jewish person, of a non-kohen, meaning there's many different types of minchas, minchas macheshes, machshavas, there's many different types of minchas. One called is a minchas mafe, a baked mincha. Now there's two types of minchas mafe. One is chalois, the other one is rikikin. Now the chalois, they are mixed with oil, those are like bread. Then the rikikin, they're wafers, they're like matzah, they're just anointed, they're just smeared with oil. Now that Reb Shimon says in Maseches Menachos of Einam and Aleph that it's smeared like a key, like an endachof. Now what do we do with the rest of the oil? That's a lot of oil that they have. With bread it gets mixed in, but in wafer it doesn't get absorbed. So what do we do with the rest? So the rest of the oil is eaten by the kahanim. So the oil that's being given out is either the leftover oil from these rikikin, or v'loig shemesh ha-metzari, also metzari, when he gets purified, he brings a loig of oil, which is sprayed on him. They do different things with it. And the leftovers, that's eaten by the kahanim. Moreover, continues Reb Shimon, imr isa shemen shu nitin al gabi yishim. If you see oil that's being poured on the fires on top of the mizbeach, they're also in tzarch l'shalma. You don't have to ask what it's from. Ella, rather, here also it's from two options. Either, ella, meisir kike minchas kahanim, either it's the leftovers of any mincha that a kohen brings, the rikikin, the wafers, because they're totally burnt, a mincha of a kohen, or a mincha is kohen mashiach, or it's the mincha of the kohen gadol, which the kohen gadol would bring every single day, chavitin, which is a certain mincha that he would bring. Now, since there was a lot of oil, where there was three lugan for an isaran of flour, and since it was baked first, so like we said, so the oil doesn't get absorbed that much into the bread, so you have to go ahead and sacrifice the rest by itself, and that's put onto the fires. So those are the two options. Either the rikikin of a kohen, unlike that of Yisrael, which is eaten here by kahanim, his things are totally burnt on the fires of Mizbeach, or from the chavitin of the kohen gadol of daily. Now, because says Reb Shimon, the reason why those are the only two options by both those two cases is because she'ein misnatvin b'shemen. There is no donated oil in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, don't entertain to say that maybe the oil that's being divided amongst the kam to eat, or from that which is burnt on the fires, maybe it's from a shemen of nadava. No, because you cannot donate oil as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Tarfon Naimi disagrees. He says, no, misnatvin shemen. One could donate as a carbon, just oil as a carbon. Now, as a continuum in Beis, Amr Shmuel, he qualifies and says, L'divri b'tarfin, according to his opinion, ha-misnad of Shemen, there's someone that donates to the Beis HaMikdash a carbon of oil. What you do is koimtzai, you take a fistful of the oil, you burn the fistful of the oil on the top, on the fires of Mizbeach, the shiyar of Nechalan, and the rest of the oil is eaten by the Kahanim. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason, says Shmuel? Because Amr Kra, the Pasuk says, in Vayikra, this is a Perek based Pasuk Aleph, where it talks about a person that's going to bring a karban mincha, a flour offering carbon, and moreover, in the pasuk, it mentions about pouring the oil on top of it. Now, the pasuk could have just said, ki sakriv. It says, v'nefesh ki sakriv karban mincha. Could have just said, v'nefesh ki sakriv mincha. The word carbon is seemingly superfluous to expound an extra carbon. Malam et shemes not v'nshemen teaches that not only could you make a nedava of a mincha, you could also donate a shemen carbon. Now, but therefore, since we're learning it out from mincha, we say embechi mincha, therefore we compare it to a flour offering. Ma mincha kaim tzavishir nechalon, just like we know by a flour offering, the way it's done, is that there's a fistful that's called the kemitza that's put on the mizbech and burnt over there, and the leftovers are eaten by the kahanim. Av shemen kaim tzavishir av nechalon, therefore, so to oil, it's a fistful that's taken, and the rest is eaten by the kahanim. Now, Amr Bezeri says, avananam tenina. So too, we learned like this in our Mishnah, that part of it is eaten, and that not all of it is burnt on the fires of the mizbech. Because we learned in the Mishnah, Omri B'Shimon, he said, Imri Isa Shemen Shemes Chalak Bazar, he says, if you find oil being divided for the Kahanim in the courtyard, so he said, Iyat Tzarech Lishol Mahu, you don't have to ask what it is. In other words, if it's only the items that he mentions in the Mishnah, or maybe it's a Shemen of Nedava, because like Shimon's opinion was, he says, no, Ela Meisir Rekike Menachas Yisrael, either it's the leftover oil from the wafer of Menachas of a Jew, or v'loyk shemesh ha-metzara, or it's leftover oil from the oil that the metzara brings. And he says the reason, how do I know this? She'im misnadvin, because he says, because we don't make an adav of shemen. So the only options are those two things. Now, machlal, the mandam and misnadvin, but the inference is, Reb Tarfon, who disagrees at the end of the Mishnah, who we're explaining his opinion right now, who says that one could make an adava of a carbon of shemen, that there, you could be in doubt. Maybe this shemen that is mischalik, is being divided amongst the ganim, maybe that is a shemen of nedava. So says Reb Zeri, you see like Shmuel, that not all of it is burnt. We see that it is divided, and the Kam do eat it, and therefore, according to Reb Tarfon, not like Reb Shimon, you could be in doubt, maybe it is a shemen of nedava. Now, that only Abaya, however, asks to Reb Zeri and disagrees. He says, but Eim HaSeifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. The next category that Reb Shimon spoke about was, Emre Isa Shemesh Shanit Nagabi Ishim. If you see oil that's being put on the fires of the Mizbeach, said Reb Shimon, Iyat Tzarech Lishol Mal, you don't have to ask what it is. Ella, rather, it's only two options. Either Meiser Kike Miches Kanim, either it's the leftover oil of the wafer Menachas of a Kayin, or Miches Kayin Mashiach, or the oil from the Kayin God that it brings every single day the Chavitin. Why? How do I know that? She'im misnadvin shemen, because you cannot make an adav of shemen. Now, mechlad, the inference is, the lamadam and misnadvin, but according to Reb Tarfon, who says that you could make an adav of shemen, that he would disagree. And that maybe there is a doubt when it's being burnt on the fires where it's from, then maybe it is from an adav, where kulon le'ishim, where it is burnt on the fires. So says Abaya, so you see that they're not eaten, that they're all burnt on the fire. So on that, says the Gemara, now we have a difficulty. Le Abaya, according to Abaya, who says that it's all burnt on the fires, kasha reisha. We have a difficulty from the deek of the reisha, which Reb Zeir had brought this. Seemingly, it says that it's divided according to Reb Tarfon, to the kain, to eat. Le Reb Zeir, who says that it is divided, kasha seifa. The end of the Mishnah is difficult, where it sounds like, no, that they put on the fires. So on that, says the Gemara, no. Bishlam Reb Zeir, we could understand according to Reb Zeir that he was explaining the Mishnah like Shmuel. So you could explain, there's no difficulty. Reisha, which sounds like that, when if you hold like Reb Tarfon that it could be donated, that it is divided amongst the kam to eat, is talking about Bishirayim, talking about the leftover part of the Shemen Nedava. Seifa, which sounds like that the Nedava could be put on the fire, is that you explain is talking about Bekaimitz, that's the fistful. So therefore, yeah, maybe the fires and that's but consumed by the ganim, according to Reb Tarfon, could be in doubt because actually you do both parts to the Shemen Nedava. But that's according to Reb Zeir, according to Shmuel. El Abai, according to Abai, which says all of it is put on the fires, kasha is difficult because the deek from the reisha sounds like it's mischalik kahanim. Says the Gemara, it's not difficult because tana reisha utter seifa. The halacha of the reisha was only taught incidental for the halacha of the end of the next case of the Mishnah. Meaning, the reisha that said regarding shemen that's subdivided, that Reb Shimon said you don't have to ask what it is, that was only brought incidental, which was that even if you hold that oil could be a nedava like Reb Tarfon, Reb Tarfon would agree that it's not subdivided amongst the kam to eat. So why is Reb Shimon saying his halacha over there as if he's disagreeing with Reb Tarfon? He's not disagreeing with Reb Tarfon in that case. When it's mischalik, yeah, Reb Tarfon also would agree that you don't have to ask about it because it's either one of those two, and it can't be even the shemen of nedava, even the current Reb Tarfon, because it's not divided amongst the kam the way Abaya understands it. The reason why we quote the halacha of the reisha is only because we wanted to say the case of the seifer, which was that Reb Shimon said, if you see oil that's being burnt on the fires, on that he said, you don't have to be in doubt that maybe it's nedava because you don't donate shemen according to the Tanna Kamma, according to Reb Shimon. That's the case that we had to say specifically. Because according to the one that holds that you do make a nedava, I mean, according to Reb Tarfon, that, as Abaya said, if it's going to be put onto the fires, that there you could be in doubt maybe it is a shemen of nedava. So therefore, we also said the case of the reisha that also if you see shemen that's being mischalik, but that's not that Reb Tarfon really disagrees over there. It's just these are two things that are done with oil, that they're burnt on the fires or that they're given to the ganim, which depending on the cases, so Reb Shimon said in both. But really his machlokes for Reb Tarfon is only the case of the seifa, not the case of the reisha. That is the Gemara. Bishlema seifa tana mishum reisha. We understand there's a concept of saying that we said the next case because of the first case. El reisha mishum seifa mitani, but do we say a first case because of the necessity of the second case? I mean, once you're saying something, oh, you'll say the end of it. But if the requirement is only the last case, you're going to say a reisha which is unnecessary because of the second case? So it's going to be, yes. Ami b'marava, they said in Eretz Yisrael, tana reisha mishum seifa, yeah, there are times that a reisha is said only because it really wanted to say the case of the seifa, even though one would think the required one is the first one and the unnecessary one, the incidental one, the second. No, it could even be that way, and therefore, we have not refuted the interpretation of Abaya. But now the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a riot not like this halacha of Shmuel that Reb Zeru is representing from the following brisa. The brisa says, Yayin kedivri b'kiva, which is, Rebbe Akiva says in Masechtas Menachos Daf Kavdal Mabez that one could give a nedava, a carbon of wine, but he holds that one cannot make a nedava of shemen. So regarding that wine that Rebbe Akiva says that one can make a carbon out of that wine, what do you do with that wine? Says the Braisa Lisafalim. You put it as a libation into the bowls that are on the top of the corner of the Mizbeach. And in other words, and one does not pour it onto the fires of the Mizbeach. Now as Rashi points out, that the truthfully is, the next case that we're going to describe according to Reb Tarfon, really this halach of wine could have also been said according to Reb Tarfon. It's just because the next case of oil had to be specifically only Reb Tarfon, and we couldn't have just said it according to all opinions, because according to Reb Akiva, one does not make a nedava of shemen. So therefore, it said the case of yayin according to Reb Akiva and shemen according to Reb Tarfon, but really shemen and yayin would be both according to Reb Tarfon too. But it says the Braisa is shemen, the oil that's a carbon of nedava, Kedivri B'Tarfin, the Korn B'Tarfin, who, as we quote in our Mishnah, that says that one can make a carbon nedava of shemen, it goes le'ishim, it goes under the fires of the Mizbech. Now, says the Gemara, the following question. My love, isn't it, from the fact that we're comparing the wine as a nedava to the oil of a nedava, love, isn't it, the Mediyayin Kulit L'Safalim, from the fact that the carbon of the wine, all of it goes into the bowls, that shemen kula liishim, that the oil, all of it goes in the fires, that's like a baya, not like Shmuel and Reb Zera. Says the Gemara, no, midi iri, is it necessarily the way you're saying it? Hakadisa, vakadisa, each one according to its appropriate halachas. Yeah, the wine, all of it goes into the bowls. When we said that the oil goes in the fires, it meant whatever part of it, which is the fistful, goes in the fires. But the rest is eaten by the kahanim. So it's not a contradiction on the opinion of Shmuel. And the Gersha takes out the words Amra Papa and says, kitanoi. Let's say that this machlokes, this halacha of Shmuel is a machlokes tanoim in the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos. The Mishnah says, the Tanakama says, shemen lo yifches melug. When one is bringing a carbon of oil, he shouldn't bring less than the lug of shemen. Now, Rabbi Yemi says, shleishes lugin, three lugin, can't have less than that. Says the Gemara b'may kemiflegi. So what are they disagreeing about? So amura bon kamedra apapa. So the rabbis said an interpretation in front of apapa as follows: dun mina umina. In other words, when you're learning out from something, that whether through a Gzeir Shava or through a Hekish, you learn everything from that context. Which means you learn from it, dun mina umina, and from it. Or, dun mina voki be'asra. Or do you say that, no, what you have to learn from that other context, through the Gzeir Shava or through that Hekish, which you cannot learn out from the context where you're coming from, that you learn from that other context. But for every other halacha that you could learn out, even from that what you learn from the other thing, but the other related halachas that you could learn it from where you're coming from. So then you apply it to where you're coming from, which is dumina va'okei ba'asra. You learn from there where you have to, but then all other related halachas to that, what you're bringing in, you apply it to its original context. That's, say, the Rabbana for the Rapapa. That's Ikei B'nai. That's the machlokes between Rebbe and the Tanakama. Why? The Rabbana Sarvi, the rabbis held, mam mincha misnadvin, just like one can bring in the dava of a flower offering, afshem misnadvin, so too, oil could bring a nedava of a carbon. Because like we mentioned this before, the primary halacha of bringing the nedava of a shemen, we learn out from a carbon of mincha. Like we said, it says carbon mincha. So we said from the extra word carbon, that's how we know that one could bring a carbon of shemen. So the source we are learning out from is shemen, is from mincha. Now umina, the Rabban held, and from there, meaning you learn out all the context from the mincha. Which mam mincha like shemen, just like by a flower offering when you bring oil, like it says in the pasuk in Yikriyadad, le mincha like shemen, you bring a log of oil, safkan like shemen. Here also, when you're bringing the carbon, the dove of shemen, it's also going to be exact like that, a log of oil. Now, on that, continued the Rabbanan, and they say, now since we explain that the Tanakama hold dun mina umina, so the same thing would apply to the burning, the haktara of the carbon, and we would say, just like over there. Umam mincha, just like the flower offering, kamtsa, v'shiyar, nechalon, you take a fistful, that gets burnt on the fires, but the rest gets eaten by the kahanim. Av shemen, kamtsa, v'shiyar, nechalon. So through the oil, you take of a fistful, and the rest gets eaten. That's like the way Shmuel said it. But v'idach, but Rebbe holds, no. The way you learn out from a certain context is as follows. Mi mincha, yeah, you learn out shemen, that you make a nedava from mincha, which is ma mincha misnadvin, just like one can make a nedava from a flower offering, av shemen misnadvin. So too, one can make a nedava from an oil offering. Now, but for uki ba'aser, Rebbe hold, but then you apply to the context of its original place, meaning where you're learning out to, meaning the context of Shemen, which is Kenesachim, which is like libations. In other words, the Shemen of Nedava is brought by itself, which is a liquid, just like wine, libations that can be brought by themselves. So therefore, what are we going to compare it to? What? How would you define the context of Shemen? Just like Nesachim of wine. Now, regarding wine, we know that Ma Nesachim, just like libations, are Shleishes Lugin, are three Lugin. And the Gemara learns that Menachas Davayin Gimel Mabez, that we know that there is such a halacha that one can make a Nedava of wine from the word of Ezrach. And we know that it's going to be three Lugin of, that's the minimum how much it's going to be with the Nesachim of Yain. Av Shemen Shalish Lugin. So to oil, its own context of Nesachim, that we say Uki Ba'astra, is also going to be three Lugin. That must be the reason of Rebbe. Oh, so say the Rabbanan, since Rebbe holds that Uki Ba'astra, so then we should say for the halacha that we're discussing also Uki Ba'astra, which is Uma Nesachim Kul Nesafal, and just like libations, all of it goes into the bowls. So Av Shemen, so too regarding oil, although it doesn't go into the bowls, but it should also have the same totality of its context, which is Kulan La'ishim, that all of it goes on the fires, which is like Abaya, not like Shmuel. Meaning, because regarding wine, we know that all of it goes into the bowls, and none of it gets divided to the Kahanim, because where do we know the halacha, as we mentioned before from the Gemara Menachos, that one can make a donation of Nesachim from the word Ezrach. Like it says by Nesachim, Kol Ezrach Yasu Kacha. Now, the mincha of Nesachim, which that's the context we learned it out from, is totally consumed. So therefore, regarding Nesachim that you can bring by itself, although you put in the Safalim, but it's all of it that's put over there. So here also, the Shemen that is the context of Nesachim, all of it is going to be burnt on the fire, not like Shmuel. So seemingly, it's a Machlekes Tanaim. The Tanakama holds like Shmuel, and Rebbe holds not like Shmuel, like Abaya. So in that Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaya, so Rav Papa, who they told this interpretation in front of him, he said to Abaya to say, no, actually no one's like you, rather everyone is like Shmuel. Why? Imim mincha maisi l'Rebbe, if it would be like you, everyone's trying to say that they all are learning it out from mincha, and the question is, how do they learn it out? And therefore the Gemara had said, based on if they're disagreeing, if you say dumi no mino o kibbe astra, that seemingly the machlik is in the halacha of Shmuel or not. That's the Rebbe, no. If Rebbe had learned it out from the flower offering, the kuleyama dumino umina, everyone would agree, even Rebbe, that when you learn out from something, you learn it totally out of from that context. Ella, and therefore, yeah, Rebbe would also hold like Shmuel, that one goes ahead and burns part of it and eats the rest, like we do by mincha. So then why does Rebbe then say that one brings three logan of Shemen? That's not because of dumino v'uki ba'asra, Ela Rebbe me'ezrach gamala. Rebbe learns it out from a different source. He learns out the halacha of nedava of shemen from that same source that we said we learn out the nesachim of wine, which is that, yeah, that just like we'll say dumina umina, so we'll learn out totally from there that it's three lugin of shemen, because that's the smallest amount of nesachim, because the nesachim of a keves, a lamb, which has the smallest amount of libations, is a revis hahin of yain, is a quarter of a hin of wine, like it says in the pasuk, which a hin is 12 lugin, so revis of that is 3 lugin. So therefore, that has nothing to do with regarding the halacha of putting on the fires. We can't prove anything from here. It's not like he's saying the halacha of dumino mina. To the contrary, maybe he holds dumino umina, and not like we thought uki ba'astra. So then why is it 3 lugin and not just a lug like it is by the mincha? Because he's not learning out from mincha, he's learning out from the word of Ezrach. However, on that, Amalei Rav Huna Barid Ibn Nasan Rav Papa says to Rav Papa, Mimetzisa Amar Hachi, can you really say that Rebbe learned out this halach of 3 lugin from Ezrach and not from mincha? And that's where he knows you can bring a carbon of shemen, not from, like we said before, from carbon mincha? But Ratanya learned the Braisa that says, it says in the Pasuk, carbon mincha. Says the Braisa, Malamashim, Misnatvin Shemin. Oh, this is the source that teaches that one can bring a nedava, a carbon of oil. But Kama says the Braisa, how much oil? Shlesha Lugin, 3 Lugin. Says the Gemara, Uman Shamed Le Dama Shlesha Lugin. Who's the one that we know that says how much oil you bring is 3 Lugin? Rebbehi. Vakam Maisi Lama Carbon, and you see the source that it brings is not from Ezrach, rather from the word of carbon. So Malayar Papa says, oh, itanya tanya, right. If you have a price that says it, fine, you have it. Just from what you brought me before, I said it wasn't obvious. From this price, okay, then it comes out that it is like the Rabbana that said of Vandar Rab Papa, that it must be that the halach of Shmuel is talu, is contingent, machlek is tanaim, and that is that the Rabbana hold like Shmuel, but Rebbe obviously disagrees with Shmuel. Another teaching on this topic, Amar Shmuel, before we spoke about someone that makes a nedava of shemen, here Shmuel speaks about hamesnad of yain. Someone makes a donation of, brings a carbon of just wine. So says Shmuel, what you do is, mevi umezalfe gabehi ishim. He brings and he sprinkles the wine as the carbon on the fires of the mizbeach. My time, what's the reason? Because Amakra, the pasuk says, Amamidbar, v'yayin takriv lanasach chatzi ahin, that the wine should be brought to pour a half of a hin, isha reich nechech l'Hashem, a fire offering that should be pleasing to Hashem. Now, obviously from this pasuk, we see that there are wines that are offered to the fires. Now, which one is that? That must be a wine that's brought by itself as a yayin of nedava. Because if you would think it's the yayin nesachim that come generally as a chiyav for a carbon, but there the pasuk says, Haseich yishapor nesach sheicher, a pouring of intoxication, which the word sheicher means satiation and intoxication, which, what does that mean? Which means that it should be visible on the mizbeach, because they would plug up the holes, the shisin, which would make the wine go down, as it says in Masech the Sukkot of Memtes Mabez. So obviously regular nesachim are not put in the fires. Those are put, like we said before, in the safalim, in the bowls, and go down the shisim. But what does it say that it's ishi reich nechech l'Hashem, it goes in the fires? Must be, says Shmuel, that's the source that if someone brings in a dove of wine, that actually is thrown on the fires of the Mizbeach. But on that, it's the Gemara, but v'alkom achabi. But if you're pouring a liquid on the fires, you're extinguishing the fire. And it says in the Torah not to extinguish those fires. So the Gemara, no, kibbe b'miktzis lo yishmei kibbe. A partial extinguishing is not considered the violation of extinguishing, because the Torah is only particular, like it says in Yukav Vav, eish tamet tukat al Mizbeach. There should be a constant fire burning the Mizbeach. So if you put up some of it, it didn't put out all of it, and therefore that's not problematic. On that, is that really so? But V'amr of Nachman Rabbi Baravu, he says, Amir gachelis magabim mizbeach v'kibir. If someone takes down just one coal on from the altar and he extinguishes it, chayiv is going to be liable. So you see, even only part of it, partial extinguishing, is a violation. Now, says the Gemara, that halacha was a leke elahai. If there was only that one coal still burning on the mizbeach, and one extinguished it, then he's going to violate. But if it's only one coal out of 100, then that's not going to be a halachic problem. Or ibayisim, or if you want, you could say that kibud de mitzvah shani. No, that the reason why over here that it's not problematic is because it was a mitzvah extinguishing, and therefore, yeah, usually even a partial extinguishing, like we said, taking down one coal is problematic. But here, where at least you're doing a mitzvah extinguishing, which is to bring this nedav of wine, then it's not a problem. But if it was not, then it would be a problem, even a partial extinguishing. Now, regarding this answer that the Gemara just gave, the Gemara says, Tashama, let's bring a raya, where the Tanner of Elazar ben Yaakov, he brought a braisa that says, Kalape, in other words, because Shenasna Torah Litzrayim, since the Torah says that one goes and does what's called Trumas Adeshen, takes off a shovelful of ashes from the fire on the Mizbeach, so yachal yichab v'yitrim. One would think that if, let's say, when one comes and he finds all of it burning, which there's nothing that's consumed over there to take his ashes, that one could extinguish it so that he gets some ashes to take off and do trumas adashan. On that, Amrit says the brisa, no, lo yichab. One should not extinguish. So obviously we see that even extinguishing for a mitzvah purpose of doing trumas adashan is forbidden. Obviously not like this last answer we just gave. Says Igmar Noshani Hasim, there it's different because Efsha Diyasa Benotar. One could sit here and wait until the fires go out. So we're not going to allow you to extinguish to do the mitzvah Trumas Adeshen. In contrast, the Nesachim of Nedava of wine, where any time to do the carbon is automatically going to do partial extinguishing, therefore we didn't make you wait, and that's why you're allowed to do a Kibbeh B'mikzis. But yeah, if you could wait in Efsha L'Kayim Shneim, of course we're not going to allow it, as we learned by the Halacha of Trumas Adeshen. Rambam says, Tashma, let's bring a raya, not like this halacha of Shmuel, that he says that the wine of this nedava is thrown on the fires of the Mizbeach. Because the Braisa says, which we brought before, regarding what's talking about when one makes a donation of either wine or oil, the Braisa said, Yain kediv Rebbe Akiva, when one makes a nedava of wine, or either according to Rebbe Akiva, who allows a nedava of wine. So he says, L'safal, what do you do with it? You pour it into the bowls. Shemen kediv Rebbe Tarfin, well, and if someone's making a nedava of oil, according to Rebbe Tarfin, it goes leishim, goes on the fires. So one thing you see is, but a nedava of wine goes on the safalim, on the bowls, not like Shmuel has said, on the fires. V'aytanya, moreover, we learn in the Braisa, it says clearly, yayin nesach l'safalim. One pours the wine into the bowls. Well, that says the Braisa, ayin ela leishim, or maybe no, maybe it go on the fires, like Shmuel had said, because it says in the pasuk, isha, it says regarding the context of the libations of wine, it says fire. And that says the Braisa, Amrit, you would say, loy, no, because yichabah, it's going to be problematic, because it's going to be extinguishing. So you have two Braises that say, not like Shmuel. So there's a Gemara, loy kasha, no difficulty. Because ha, the prices that we brought are Rabbi Yehuda. The Gaon of Rabbi Yehuda says in Sefer Shabbos that davar she'ein miskaven, something that a person will be doing a prohibition, but he's not intending to do it, is still forbidden. So here, when one would be extinguishing, even though he's not intending to do it, but still he's going to be violating the Ister according to Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, that's why the Brises, which are going like Rabbi Yehuda, they uproot the simple translation of Isha as saying that, okay, you put on the fire. To expound, no, you can't say put on the fire, because even if you're not intending to, but you're going to be extinguishing the fire. So rather, they would expound the words in the Pasuk of that it's going to be a pleasing aroma of Hashem, like as if it's a fire offering. And that's how the Brises explained in the Sifri. Whereas Ha, the Halacha of Shmuel, he's like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon would hold, since one is not intending to extinguish the fires on the Mizbech when he's pouring the wine on it, so then that's not going to tell us to make it prohibited to uproot the simple translation of Isha because of the problem, because of you're not allowed to extinguish, because you're not intending. The Avashayin of Miskavim, according to Reb Shimon, is Mutter, so therefore it's not a problem. And therefore, yeah, according to Shmuel, who's like Reb Shimon, he'll actually put on the fires themselves. No, but on that Rashi asked, but we know Reb Shimon agrees, even though Dabar She'ein Miskaven is Mutter, but Psik Reisha V'lo Yomis, if it's inevitable, then even Reb Shimon agrees that's prohibited. And here, when you're pouring down the liquid, it's inevitable that you can extinguish some of the fires. And that says Rashi, no. One could pour the libations with small little drops, and that's not inevitable. So therefore, even if he pours large drops, since he's not intending to, therefore it would be permitted according to Reb Shimon, and that's who Shmuel is going like. That is the Gemara Lememer the Shmuel Reb Shimon's relay. Is that to say the Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon? But Rama Shmuel says the following halacha. He says Mechaben, someone could extinguish on Shabbos, which one of the Lametz Malachas is extinguishing. One is allowed to extinguish on Shabbos Gachela Shel Mateches B'Shusarab, a coal of fire, a metal coal, in the public domain. Now the reason why is because actually you can't really extinguish a piece of metal because it doesn't really turn into a charred piece of something. It doesn't get extinguished, it just glows. So really, to extinguish a piece of metal that's on fire is only rabbinically prohibited. Now, that's what Shmuel is saying, since it's in the public domain, which could be a danger to the public. So there the rabbis did not decree, and therefore one could put out such a coal of metal in the public domain, that the public should not get harmed by that. However, as we continue with Tzadik Beis and Alf, Avo Lo Gechel Shaleitz, but regarding a coal made out of wood, no, there, one's not allowed to do it even to save the public from harm in the Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because a piece of wood could be, quote-unquote, extinguished, and therefore that's already a biblical violation that we didn't allow so that the public does not get harmed. And that is the Gemara of Yisogadai that Reb Shimon Tzvili. Now this was Halach of Shmuel. And if it's you're saying that Shmuel holds a Reb Shimon, then Afila Gechel Shaleitz Nami, then even a coal made out of wood, Shmuel should permit Shleizuka Baram to extinguish on Shabbos. Why? Because if one holds like Reb Shimon, there is no biblical kibui extinguishing, only if the intention is to make coals out of that piece of wood when you're extinguishing it for that purpose and for that utility. Because Reb Shimon holds up another halacha called a malacha she'en etzricha legufa, that one is pater. If someone is doing a malacha, which is not necessary for what he's doing it, like in this case, we're extinguishing it, is not for the thing itself. He doesn't want this coal. It's like taking out a dead person from the house, where Reb Shimon says, as he says in Masechet Shabbos, if he does haitzah, he takes the dead person out from this house, because the dead person, they don't want it here. They take it out to Rishus HaRabim. Reb Shimon says, you weren't violating the Isser of Haitzah. Why not? You wanted to take it out. Yes, but you didn't want it for the taking out itself. You just didn't want it over here. That's considered She'in Tzrich LeGufa. You don't need the thing itself, what you're doing. You want it for just not to be over here. So same thing over here, where you want to extinguish it, but not to get the thing that you're extinguishing. You don't want the coal. You just don't want the fire. So according to Reb Shimon, one's going to be exempt biblically. It's only going to be a rabbinic problem, even by Gechel HaShaleitz. And Shmuel holds like him, then why doesn't he permit it even by Gechel HaShaleitz? Says the Gemara, no, those are two different halachas. But davar she'ein miskaven, by something that's not intentional, that's Savlok Reb Shimon. That's where he holds like Reb Shimon, like we said, regarding the halacha of extinguishing the fires on the Mizbeach, where he's not intending to do that. That's not his intention. So that's where one is going to be pater. And that's why it says you pour the wine on the fires. But by malacha she'in tzrich legufa, regarding this other halacha, when it's a malacha that's not for the purpose that you're doing it for, which is like the case of the gacheles, Sabalok Rabbi Yehuda. There he holds Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's going to be Asr by the Kechela Shal Eit, and that's why he holds it's going to be Asr. And therefore it's not a contradiction. Those are two different halachas, although they're similar in a sense regarding what the purpose intention is, but one is regarding if one is intending to do the malacha in the first place, the activity, and the other one is he's intending to do it, but for what purpose? Not for the purpose of what he's doing itself, but for some other secondary gain, and therefore it's not a contradiction in the opinion of Shmuel. Now the Gemara continues related regarding this halacha of Nesachim. Amar Rav Huna, he says, Nesachim Shenitmu, regarding these libations, these liquids that are poured on the Mizbech that became Tameh, so one cannot do the Avodah with it. Rather, they make a separate fire for it on the floor of the Azara. V'sarfan, and they're burnt over there, meaning one does not take it out of the Azara. Mishum Shenem, like it says in Pasuk in Mayukah, it says, Bakaydish, in the holy area, Ba'esh Tisarf, that's where one burns it. Which the Gemara in the second paragraph of Pesachim Pesachim Nafchav Dal Manaf expounds from this Pasuk, where there it's the context of the Pasuk is talking about wherever if there's a Karma Chattis that's supposed to be on the Adam Mizbeach is erroneously brought into the inner Mizbeach, so that it makes it invalid, and one has to then burn it because it's invalid, and one burns it in the Azar. Now, the Gemara over there includes anything that's invalidated, that's a carbon, where its area is supposed to be in the Azara, like that Chatas, that it gets burnt over there in the Azara, like it says, Bakaydish, in the holy area, don't eat it. Rather, it's burnt in the fire. Now, Rashi actually wonders, but why do you have to make a separate fire for these Nesachim? Why don't you just burn it in the place of where the ashes are in the courtyard on the floor, where that's where they burn all the things that are Kudshim, that are invalid and are burnt over there. So Rashi says, it seems to him that the reason is because since these Nesachim are liquids, they have to be burnt by themselves so that it can be recognizable what we're doing. Because if it was burnt with the all other karbanis, which are meat, it wouldn't be recognizable because there's no substance to it. You wouldn't see the limbs like you have by the meat. They're just liquids. They would just get lost over there. And that's why, says Rashi, you make your own maracha to burn them there on the floor of the Azar. So as the Gemara Tanim Halacha, similar in the Braisa, Hadam, the oil, Vashemen, and the blood and the oil, Vamenachis, and the flour offerings, Vanesachim, and these libations, Shenitma, that became Tamei. Oisle Marachim, Bafnei Atzman, these Nesachim, these liquids, they get their own fire by themselves, Vesarfen, and they're burnt over there. Adam Le Shmuel Rav Chana Bagdisa says, Isli Be'asar, I want you to bring me 10 people. The Emeloch Kamayin, I'll say in front of you this halacha that yes, this is correct. Nesachim Shenitmu, the libation that became Tameh, Islan Marachim of Ne'asma Vesarfan, one makes a separate fire for it by itself on the floor of the Azara, and it's burnt over there, like it says, Bakaydish, Be'esh Tisarf, in the holy place, that's where it gets burnt. Hanelach Kalatada, which I return to you, the 10th paragraph of Sechel Zvachim, paragraph Kalatada, which again spoke about primarily that idea of Kalatada, whatever is more frequent comes first, unlike the other next Mishnah, which had Kalamakudish, whatever is more sanctified, that there's a hierarchy, there's an order in the Karbanis of what comes first.